Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
The simple fact of the matter is the world is in the mess that it's in because it refuses to reach out to the Savior, the Word made flesh. But we haven't done that. We've reached out to Him. Hopefully every one of you have done that. If you haven't done that, you need to do it. You can do it today.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues our Christmas series. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on John chapter 1, verses 1 through 2 and 14, in a message titled, When God Became One of Us. Now here's Pastor Brian.
We know that God is not only a creator and a judge, we know that He is also a redeemer. We know that God didn't only love just a small segment of humanity, but we know that God loves all people. And we know that God loves all people because He sent His Son into the world to die as a sacrifice for the sins of all people. And we know that that sacrifice was adequate, that it was sufficient, that it provided the necessary atonement for sin because God raised His Son from the dead. We know through the Son of God that God is personal and that He longs to have a personal relationship with us. And that's what Jesus was teaching us while He was here. Jesus came and He brought us this clear understanding. And so John, if we read a little bit further in the first chapter here, when we get to the 18th verse, John says, no one has ever seen God. And I think we need to understand there that he's referring to the Father. No one has ever seen the Father, but the only begotten God is actually what the Greek text says. But the only begotten God who is in the heart of the Father, He has declared Him. So what Jesus did is He brought God out into the open for everybody to see. That's why later on in this gospel, when Philip says at a certain point to Jesus, he says, Jesus, just show us the Father and that will be sufficient. And Jesus says to Philip, have I been with you so long, Philip, and you don't know me? And then he said these words, he that has seen me has seen the Father. You can't get any clearer than that. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus is the revelation of God. He is the foundation of our knowledge of God. If there's anybody in the world that wants to know about God, they need to go to Jesus to find out. He's the only legitimate means of attaining knowledge about God. He's the revealer. He's the Word. So He's the foundation of our knowledge of God. Secondly, He's the foundation of our knowledge of man. In other words, Jesus is the picture of what people were intended to be. You see, God created man, but it wasn't too long after the creation that man fell from his position of favor with God and fell out of relationship with God and then continued to become less and less of what God originally intended. So Jesus comes into the world, and one of the things that he does is he demonstrates what man was intended to be. And what did we see in Jesus? We saw a person who was entirely dependent upon the Father. That Jesus expressed that over and over again. He would say things like, the words that I speak are not my words, but they're the words that the Father has given me. The works that I do, the miracles that he was doing and so forth, he said, they're not my works, but they're the works of the Father. So he was constantly expressing a dependency on the Father. And he also was showing us that man was intended to live not for himself, and not for his own glory, but man was intended to live for God and for the glory of God. And so Jesus would say, I always do those things that please the Father. He was always thinking in terms of glorifying the Father. So it's through Christ that we see what man was intended to be. Thirdly, Jesus is the foundation of man's relationship with God. Now, Jesus taught us about the fatherhood of God. The fatherhood of God, and what Jesus was talking about for us was the fatherhood in a very personal sense. Among the Jews, no individual Jew would think of God as being their father. That to them would be almost blasphemous to say something like that. If the average Jew referred to God as my father in a personal way, they would have considered that blasphemy. Now, they saw themselves collectively as the children of God, and so they saw God as the father of the nation, but they did not think in terms of that kind of a personal, intimate relationship with God where you would actually call God your father personally. Well, Jesus did that over and over again. That was one of the things that angered the religious leaders of the day. This man's making himself out to be the Son of God, like in a literal personal sense, as Jesus would speak of God as being his father. But that's exactly what Jesus taught would be the case for us as well, right? He would talk to us about the care of a father. And so he would look at the animals and he would say, look at the birds. He would look at the flowers, things like that. Look at nature itself. Look how your father takes care of these things. Will he not take care of you, O you of little faith? So Jesus started to teach people that they were to think in terms of God as being their father in a personal way. So Jesus came and he gave us this understanding of the kind of relationship that man and God are to have. He taught us about the fatherhood of God, but then he made a way for us to become the children of God. And that's what John told us as we read here in the verses this morning, here in verse 10. He was in the world and the world was made by him. The world did not know him. He came to his own. They did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. So Jesus comes and teaches us about this whole new thing, this personal relationship with God. God is going to become your father, and then he makes a way for that to happen. It happens by us receiving him. You see, this is the great truth that so many people don't get. They don't understand. Even people that believe in God, they think of God as distant. They think of God as inaccessible. They don't think in terms of God being intimately involved in their lives as not just a father, but as a doting father, as a caring father, as a compassionate father, as a father who provides and as a father who protects and as a father who guides one through life and all of that. People, they don't think in those terms. This came to us through Jesus. He taught us this and he made the way for that to become a reality by receiving him. Jesus is also the foundation of all of our hopes. You know, I was thinking about this. What do people hope in today? When we look around at the world, when we see the chaos and the confusion going on in the world today, what are people hoping in? You know, we have these cultural elites who refer to themselves as progressives, and the progressives tell us that, you know, everything is actually getting better. The world is better today than it's ever been before, and it's just getting better all the time. I don't know what world they're looking at, but the one that I'm looking at, it doesn't seem to be getting all that much better. But this is their thinking, and they've got hope in what? They've got hope in broken political systems. They've got hope in broken people as their hope. You know, all of the philosophies and everything, that political philosophies and so forth that people operate by most every one of them have already been tested and shown to be a failure. So the question is there any hope? Is there any hope that there is a better day? Is there any hope that there is a better life? Well, Jesus is the foundation of all of our hopes. He's the one that came into the world to solve these kinds of problems. And listen, he's going to do it. He's going to do it one day. Because John's telling us about his coming the first time, but of course, the Bible declares that he's coming a second time. So he is the foundation of our hope in that larger sense, the universal hope. But of course, we're all individual people. And it's through Christ that we have the hope of forgiveness. You know what needs to happen for racial reconciliation, for example? There needs to be a lot of mutual forgiveness that takes place. How does that happen? People don't naturally easily forgive other people that have hurt them or oppressed them or whatever they, you know, feel has happened. So how does this forgiveness take place? Well, Christ enables us to forgive. He forgives us and then enables us to forgive others. So there's the hope of forgiveness. There's the hope of deliverance from sin and judgment. You see, what's really going on in our world, all of these problems are related to sin. Sin in the heart, and it's this vicious cycle of sin that just repeats itself over and over and over again throughout history. Jesus breaks that cycle. He delivers us from sin. He delivers us from the judgment that's coming, and we have through Christ the hope of eternal life. That's our ultimate hope, isn't it? Because one day, it doesn't really matter what's happening here in the world. It doesn't really matter who's protesting in the streets. It doesn't really matter about this injustice or that inequality or whatever. One day, you're going to be on your deathbed and none of those things are going to matter. That's true with every single person. None of those things will matter at that point. What will matter at that point is whether my own sins have been forgiven. What will matter at that point is whether or not I have been delivered from the judgment to come. What will matter at that point is whether or not I have eternal life. And again, all of these things are ours through Jesus Christ. And so he is the foundation of all of our hope. Jesus is the guarantee of all of our peace. The longing in the world, I mean, in some cases, I can't say that this is a universal longing for peace, but of course we know that many people do, at least they say they want peace. In some cases, yeah, we want peace, but we want to kill these people first, you know, and then we'll go for the peace thing. Or, you know, we want peace, but first we want to take vengeance on this group or whatever. So, you know, we talk about the universal longing for peace. I don't know how universal it really is. But let's just, for the sake of argument, say that, you know, large numbers of people long for peace. But it just seems to elude us. It escapes us. We can't seem to get hold of it. Well, there is one who can bring it. That's the Prince of Peace. Remember, that's one of the names given to Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. And what is absolutely certain is that peace will come. What is also absolutely certain is that it will never come apart from Christ. But it will come because, as I said a moment ago, Christ will return. And he's going to set up a kingdom of peace. Remember, he's the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government in peace, there will be no end. But that's not here yet. That's still in the distance. We don't know how far in the distance it is, but here's the good news. We can have peace within, because the whole problem with all of this conflict is really due to the fact that we have no internal peace, so we're at war with other people. We have no internal peace because we're at war with God. But Jesus, he brought us peace. Remember Ephesians 3, he is our peace. Paul says, having been justified by faith in Jesus, we have peace with God, resulting in peace within, leading to peace with others. So he is our peace. And it's so powerful to see people whose lives have been impacted by the Prince of Peace, people who previously were at war with other groups of people, perhaps. People who were at war, even maybe within the context of their own home, where it was just a war zone, constant fighting and bickering and violence and all of that. And the Prince of Peace comes and he brings peace in that situation. These are the kinds of things that Jesus does for us. These are the kinds of things that he guaranteed. And then finally, Jesus is the pledge of all of our blessedness. All of the blessings that God has promised to us are wrapped up in Jesus Christ. He's the one through whom all the blessings come. You know, we sometimes sing that song, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above you, heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Yes, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's from God that the blessings come, but Jesus is the channel. Jesus is the one who enacted the plan and the purpose of God to bring us the blessing. And they all come to us through him. Now, here's the thing that I want to really zero in on as we wrap things up. This message is available to anyone today who will lay hold of it. You see, the world continues to go on in the state that it's in. People's lives go on in this negative state that they're in because of their refusal to embrace the Word who became flesh. But that's not the case with us. It certainly is not the case with many of us, probably most of us here today. It doesn't have to be the case with anybody. You see, all of the blessings that God intended by the Word becoming flesh, yes, they will at some point become universal, but they are available to each individual person right now. That's the beauty of the whole thing. You see, he was in the world, but the world did not know him. And what was true 2,000 years ago is still true today, isn't it? The world doesn't know him. The world doesn't know Jesus. The world doesn't even consider Jesus. If you were to go before Congress today and say, "Listen, I have the solution to all of our social problems. Here, let me read it to you from the Bible." Oh, they'd throw you out in a heartbeat, right? They'd laugh you to scorn. So he's in the world. The world was made by him. The world didn't know him. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But as many as would receive him, to them he gave the right, the power, the authority to become the children of God. So here's my point. We should not be moved by what's going on in our world as though we don't have hope or a savior or the solution or the confidence that it's all going to get taken care of. You know, God's intention is that we rejoice in Christ today. And we should all already know that the world is only going to get worse before it gets better. Our hope is built on Christ. Our hope is built on the Word who was with God and was God becoming flesh and dwelling among us and allowing us to behold his glory, The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is available to us, and it's there to bless anyone that will embrace him today. The simple fact of the matter is the world is in the mess that it's in because it refuses to reach out to the Savior, the Word made flesh. But we haven't done that. We've reached out to him. Hopefully every one of you have done that. If you haven't done that, you need to do it. You can do it today. But we have. So all of these things, we know God. We have a relationship with God. We have hope. We have confidence that there's blessing ahead. We know that it's not a gloomy, dark future. We know that it's a glorious future where Christ will come again and he will set up the kingdom. And Christmas is really, you know, if you think about it, Christmas is the inception of all of that. It's the beginning of all of that. Christmas was the first coming of Jesus into the world, but of course it was all in preparation ultimately for the second coming. And this long interim period that we've been living in is really just a season where God is inviting as many people as would come to become his children through faith in Christ by receiving him. And that's the question that I close with today. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Have you received his grace today? Have you received it? You see, there's a point where you have to personally receive this. You don't become a child of God because your parents are Christians or your grandparents or somebody in your extended family. You don't become a child of God because you attended a church or you were maybe baptized or christened as a child. No, you become a child of God through personal faith in Jesus Christ. You receive him. To as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God. You receive Christ and you enter into this whole world that prior to this moment, you really can't even grasp that it's a reality. You can't even really imagine it. What it would be like to have God as my loving heavenly Father. Well, it's a concept that's almost beyond being able to be verbally described. It's something that you have to experience. But when you experience it, like, oh, how glorious it is. When we come in and we begin to experience the love of God, the relationship with God that he intends for us, the father-child relationship through receiving Christ, man, it's a whole nother world. There's nothing like it. It's so beautiful. And it's available to everybody. So that's our message. For the broken world that's trying to figure out how do we move forward, hey, it's the same message that's always been around. It's been around for 2,000 years. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, and as many as would receive him, to them he would give the right to become the children of God. That's what Christmas is all about, becoming the children of God.
For the month of December, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled, When God Became One of Us. It's a 40-day devotional through the Gospel of John by Pastor Brian. The book takes a fresh look at the person of Jesus through an engaging 40-day journey, overviewing the Gospel of John. It will draw you into a deeper personal relationship with Christ, while stimulating a greater hunger to know and serve him, and dig deeper into the Word of God. When God Became One of Us will open your eyes to the truth of God's glory and greatness, revealing hope, peace, forgiveness, and abundant life in Jesus. It will give you a richer understanding of the Incarnation, when God became one of us. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way of saying thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we continue our Christmas series right here on Back to Basics. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.